All right, so tonight we come to message 4. And the title is Analyzing the Word of Christ. No, what is it?
Receiving.
Receiving the Word of Christ.
Amen.
Studying the Word of Christ? No. Tonight we want to talk about receiving the Word of Christ. All right, now I don't want to be repetitive, but I think it's helpful to start with this. And I want to ask you again, I want you to think about the answer to this question. Okay, have you been enjoying the Lord?
Amen.
All right, have you been enjoying His Word?
Amen.
All right, me too. Now I want you to think, if, say like you have a friend and they ask you this question, even just based on your experience so far today or this weekend, what is your feeling? What do you, if you were going to describe your feelings about God's Word, how would you do that? What words would you use? All right? How would you describe your experience of God's Word? How would you describe your interaction with God's Word? All right? How would you do that? Okay? Think about this for a minute. There's many words that we could use, and there's many words that the Bible uses to describe how we interact with the Bible. All right, what words would you use? All right, I just want you to consider this. And then I like to present some examples here. I was very convicted just in reading some of these verses to show someone's attitude, their feeling toward God's Word. All right? Now, do you all take the SAT here in this area of the country? Or is it ACT? I don't know what you... Okay. There's a... If you ever take the SAT... All right, there's a... I forget what you call them. I don't know if they're called analogies, where you have and you have the colon in the middle. All right, and then there's, you know, say I'm gonna use this. Okay, so say you or myself, our relationship with God's Word is like, and then they give you like four choices, and you have to choose the one that matches this. That has this same relationship, all right? And okay, the verse I'm thinking of. Okay, what? So how we are to God's Word, or we should be related to God's Word as? And there's an analogy in the New Testament, all right? You know this analogy? There's probably more than one analogy, but the one that I'm thinking of is in 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter 2, 2, and 3. All right, and if you have your Bible, you can turn there. And so this is what it says. I think many of us have heard these verses before, but I'd just like to speak them again. So in verse 2, 1 Peter 2, 2, it says, "As newborn babes, long for the guileless milk of the Word, in order that by it you may grow unto salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is good." The Lord is
good.
All right. So, again, with this example here, if there were different choices here, the one you would be looking for is newborn babes, colon, guileless milk. All right. And if you're familiar with not just a babe, but a newborn babe, all right, a newborn babe, you know that. That babe needs lots of milk and needs it frequently and will cry if they don't get that milk. So this is how we should be. We should be our relationship with the Word. We should be as newborn babes, long, long for the guileless milk of the Word. Did you have that thought when you were thinking about what's my feeling towards the Word? What about that word long? Just long. Long for the guileless milk of the word. That is really something. All right, then I just wanted, and then in these verses, another really enjoyable point is in verse 3, it says, if you have tasted that the word is good, right? No, that's not what it says. It says, if you have tasted that the Lord is good. So in verse 2, it says, long for the guileless milk. But then in verse 3, it says, you have tasted not the milk or the word, but it says, you tasted the Lord. What does that mean? That means when we come to the word, we're tasting the Lord. We should be tasting the Lord. All right? And in fact, tonight, as we get into Colossians 3, we have this word, we have this phrase, the word of Christ. The word of Christ. And we can't separate Christ and the word. When we taste the word, we taste Christ. When we taste Christ, we taste him in the word. In fact, his name is the word. All right? So we should be newborn babes. We should long for the guileless milk of the word. And when we take the word in as milk, we're not just tasting the word. We are actually tasting the Lord himself. Now, I want to just read you again. I am very convicted by these words, but these are just tremendous. These verses are from Psalm 119, and they show the attitude of the psalmist toward God's word. And I'm just going to read you, let's see, 7 verses, all right, from Psalm 119. You can follow along if you'd like to. But, okay, the first verse is Psalm 119, 31. And in this verse it says, I cling to your testimonies. Cling. How about that? What if you were going to describe to this person who asked you, how do you feel about God's word? I cling to it. I can't let it go. All right, one word that the psalmist uses. All right, Psalm 119, 16. He says, I take delight in your statutes. Take delight. How about that? What if we just told this person, you know what? I take delight. I take delight in God's word. All right, verse 94. That says, I have sought your precepts. It's seeking. There's a longing. Again, a seeking. How do we feel about God's word? We're seeking. Verse 20. This is an incredible verse. Again, Psalm 119, verse 20. It says, my soul is crushed with longing for your ordinances at all times. Wow, isn't that crazy? My soul is crushed with longing for your ordinances at all times. Wow. We need to pray that verse. Pray over that verse. Okay, then in verse 11, it says, in my heart I have treasured up your word. What about that word treasure? The word is our real treasure. And then in verse 72, it says, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. All right, what if I had not just a few pieces of gold and silver, and not even just 1,000 pieces, but thousands of pieces of gold and silver. Michael, how about this, huh? Thousands. I'm going to give you thousands of pieces, not just of gold, but gold and silver. Well, how do we feel about that? Well, the psalmist here, his thought was, your word is better to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. All right, so valuable, right? So precious. The word is so precious. And then, in verse 103, I'll end with this one. This is a good one. How sweet are your words to my taste? Sweeter than honey to my mouth. All right, so again, another word to describe our attitude, our reaction to the word is this word. What about this word? Sweet. Sweet, huh? I don't know if that was one of the words that crossed your mind. But this is the example that we have there in the Psalms. And I can't say that this is me. I don't know if any of us can say that we fully feel just like the psalmist did here in Psalm 119. But I really appreciate these verses. They really show us the value of God's word. Maybe we grew up. This is the way I grew up. I grew up in a Christian household. We had lots of Bibles. We heard the word spoken in meetings, Christian meetings, regularly, not just on Sunday, but during the week. So God's word was plentiful, but there wasn't that much of this kind of attitude, appreciation, the preciousness of God's word. But we're in the process. But we're in the process. The more we taste, the more we enjoy. The more it's sweet to us. You know, everything. Any econ majors here? Econ? You econ? All right. There's a law in economics called the law of diminishing marginal utility. All right. You know what that is? Probably most of us. I mean, you get that in high school economics, right? What is that law? So it says the more you have of something, the less you're satisfied with it. All right. The more video games you have, the less you're satisfied. The more cars you have, the less satisfied you are with your cars, etc., etc. But with Christ and with God's word, it works the other way around. All right. The more you have of it, the more you're satisfied. Okay, so we're in the process. The more we get into the word, the more we eat the word, the more we cling to it. The more we taste it, the sweeter it is. You know, you taste, if you're trying to eat something sweet, the first few bites might be really sweet, but by the end, it might not be so sweet. But I tell you what, you eat the word of God, the first time it's sweet, the second time it's sweeter. And it gets sweeter and sweeter. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop for eternity. All right, so let's turn to, this is just some examples. Our attitude, our feeling towards God's word, really appreciating his word. So let's turn to Colossians 3. These are our verses for tonight. Let's read these are awesome verses. Let's just read verse 16 together. Let's start there. Ready? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom,
teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns
and spiritual songs, singing with grace. Okay, yeah, let's stop with verse 16. As I was just considering this verse, you know, one verse that came up this morning is the verse Ephesians 3:8. Remember Ephesians 3:8? What does that say? Remember? All right. Yeah, it mentions this phrase, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ, right? Well, how can we enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ? Well, one way, even just by this word riches, you can see it here in Colossians 3, right? It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly, all right? We want to enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ. We need to enjoy his word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And it's even particular, it doesn't just say let the word dwell in you richly, but it says let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. All right, this does not mean, you know, just the words of the man Jesus while he was on the earth 2,000 years ago that are recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, But based on Hebrews, it says, you know, God has spoken to us in the Son. God has spoken to us in the Son. So actually, the Word of Christ, it really includes the entire Bible. All right? This is not limited to what Jesus said in the four Gospels. So let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let Christ dwell in you richly. And how can we do this? Right? We want to get into this. And I was thinking of, you know, this morning, we mentioned Luke 24. Let me just read this to you. Remember Luke 24? That's where Jesus said, he expounded to the disciples in the scriptures everything. Moses, the prophets, the things concerning what? Concerning himself. That's right. And with that kind of exposition, you know, getting into the scriptures, the things concerning himself, how did the disciples feel? Yeah, that's right. Luke 24:32, it says, and they said to one another, was not our heart burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was opening to us the scriptures? All right? When we touch the Word, when we touch Christ in the Word, what happens? And I think it's happening this weekend. It's happening to me. And I can see that it's happening to you too. What happens? Our heart is burning. Is your heart burning? My heart is burning. All right? That is the Word dwelling in us richly. That is Christ dwelling in us richly. It's the Word of Christ. It's Christ as the Word dwelling in us richly. Now, all right, how can we do this? I was just considering, there's different kind of levels of getting into the Word. All right? First of all, there's not getting into the Word at all, which none of us, I don't think any of us are doing. Then there is reading the Word. We can read the Word, but read it occasionally. All right? You know, I don't know how many times did you, by yourself, read the Word this past week? Don't answer out loud. How many days this past week did you read your Bible? All right? Then we can be those, we can read regularly. All right? This is very good. This is necessary. All right? We should read our Bible regularly. All right? There shouldn't be a day where we don't have the Bible. All right? If we really have the attitude of the psalmist, our soul would be crushed, like it says, without the Lord's Word. So we have to encourage one another to be in the Word. Hopefully in the brother's house, or if you live with other brothers, or if you live with some other sisters, it is an encouragement. You see that person reading the Bible before they go to sleep. All right. So maybe we get into it regularly, but even just reading the Word regularly is not really what we're talking about, letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. But it's necessary. All right? Now, the reason why I say that is the Greek word translated as the English word, here is rhema. It's rhema, right? And this is different. There's two Greek words for our English word. One is logos and the other one is rhema. Logos refers to the constant word, and a lot of that is the written word. It's related to the written word of God, the Bible. So we need the written word of God, but the written word, it's through the written word that Christ can speak an instant word to us. And that's what rhema is. So we need to read the Bible. We need to accumulate the logos. We need to know what's in the Bible. We need to read it. We need to read it regularly. But that's kind of a foundation. That's a beginning. And through that, we can enjoy the Lord's instant and present speaking to us, applicable to our daily living. The Lord may touch us about particular things, about our interactions with people, about what we said to this brother or sister. But it comes from the Word. But it's not just the black and white Word, but it comes off the page. All right? Something speaks to us. Something fresh. Something that supplies us. And that's the Rhema. That's the Rhema Word. Another thing, okay, maybe we can go to the outline. And in Roman numeral 1, it says, concerning our living in union with Christ in Colossians, Paul tells us to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Okay? Then in point A, it says, let the word of Christ is the word spoken by Christ. And in B, it says, we need to be filled with this word, meaning that we should do what? We should allow the word of Christ to dwell in us, to inhabit us, and to make home in us. Then, moving on, point one, for the word of Christ to dwell in us richly means that it has adequate room in us to permeate and saturate our whole being. Then in point two, it is crucial for us to let the word of Christ enter into, it is crucial, all right, it is crucial for us to let the word of Christ enter into us, dwell in us, prevail in us, and replace our concepts, opinions, and philosophies. And then let's read the prayer in point three all together. We need to pray. Lord Jesus, amen. So, these three things, concepts, opinions, and philosophies. And there's a helpful verse in Jeremiah 23:29. And in this verse, the Lord says, is not my word thus like a hammer that breaks rock in pieces? All right? Did you realize that the Lord's word is like a hammer? And what does it do? It can break rock in pieces. So what do you think that rock can signify? Yeah, right here, right? Concepts, opinions, and philosophies. All right? We, maybe by the way we're raised or just by the people that we hang out with, we have certain concepts, opinions, and philosophies. We were thinking of two examples. One might be, we might have certain, you know, there's a thought, there's a concept in today's society about marriage. What are your thoughts about marriage? What are your concepts about marriage? There's a thought that says marriage is dead. It's a thing of the past. That is not the concept in the Bible. The Bible, even from the very beginning in Genesis, it presents marriage. Between a man and a woman. In Hebrews 13:4, I really like this verse. It says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and the bed undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. This is against what this age, what's in the world. How about this, huh? Let marriage be held in honor. Let marriage be held in honor. We need to hold marriage in honor. This is a concept. This is something in the Bible. They go against what we've heard, what we've been taught. But we just that's why we need to pray. Like it says, Lord Jesus, I want your word to have ground in me. Amen. All right? And then another very common concept is, you know, if you want your marriage to be successful, you should live together first to make sure that you're compatible. All right? That's a very common thought, actually. But, actually, you know what? If you look, there's been numerous studies over the past 10 years. I mean, if you just Google living together before marriage, or it's called cohabitation. If you Google that, there's just numerous studies on it. And all the studies say the same thing. And you know what that is? Those who live together have a higher divorce rate. Those who live together before getting married. It works the other way around. It's actually not helpful. It's damaging to live together before marriage than just to get married and live together, which is the way it's presented in the Bible. All right? Anyway, again, just it seems to be logical, you know, live together and then, but actually, we need the Lord to shine on this and to work. This is very, this is just an example, all right, of some concepts we might have. All right, another area, we won't get into the details, and I need to turn it over to Brother Ken. But another area, again, we want to be open. You want to be open?
Amen.
All right. No one's perfect. I'm not perfect. I can't say that all my concepts match what's in the Bible. I need the Lord to be a hammer to me to break my concepts. All we can do is really just pray. We can just open to the Lord. Another area that could be, we might have certain concepts, is related to this matter of alcohol, related to drinking. I'm at USC, and there's a lot of fraternities, a lot of sororities, and it's no secret what goes on Thursday nights, Friday nights, and it's a very prevailing atmosphere related to this area of drinking and alcohol. But there's things in God's Word about this too. There's things in God's Word. And there's nothing that says, you know, if you take one sip, then your destiny is hell forever. There's nothing like that. But there, you know, we covered this verse this morning where it says in Ephesians 5, in Ephesians 5 it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit." and then we saw, you know, the Lord is our real. He's our real new wine, right? He's the vine that produced. He is our real wine, all right? So there is a thought about not being drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, all right? But be filled in spirit. Be drunk in spirit, not in the body, okay? Again, this is just, these are just some possible examples. The Lord may break some of our concepts. I mean, there are verses that say, you know, Paul said, you know, Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach. You might say, oh yeah, the Lord turned the water into wine in John 2. Anyway, we just need to be open to the Lord speaking, how he would speak to us. We might be reading the Word and the Lord may break certain concepts there. Those are some examples. Now, I'm running out of time. But these next points are really, really important, and I know Brother Ken wants to emphasize these too. Now, point C, all right, says, we need to pray, read the Word, receiving the Word of God by means of all prayer and petition. All right, this is too important in receiving the Word. Let's look at these verses. It's really important that we look at these verses in Ephesians 6, 17 and 18. Let me read them to you. I'll just read the first part of verse 18. It says, and receive, all right, receive, recognize that word, the title, receiving, all right, receive what? The helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God, all right, so receive the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. We could say receive the Word of God. How? In verse 18, by means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit. All right? I would just like to have some examples of this. Okay? So, some of us may have heard about praying over God's Word before, and some of us may not have so much. But, how does this work? How does this work? How does it work to just pray over God's. How does it work to receive the word by means of all prayer? And I would just, the most helpful thing to me, and this really changed the way that I do this, even just a few years ago, was some examples, all right? To see some examples. Now, sometimes, some of us may be familiar with this, especially if we try to pray over the word in a corporate setting, like when we're together. We might take this verse, Ephesians 6, and we might shout out phrases, you know, and receive, amen. Receive the helmet, amen, of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, amen. And we might be trying to pray over the word in that kind of way. It's kind of a repeat, read, pray, reading, all right? But I'll tell you what, that doesn't work too well if you're by yourself, all right? And probably a lot of the receiving the word, letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly is these times we have just one-on-one with the Lord where we can just pray over the word. And the example, I want to use Matthew 8, all right? And this Matthew 8, just follow along here, and I'll wrap it up. Okay? Matthew 8, 1 through 3, right? You look at these verses, how would you pray over these verses, right? When we pray, there's a time to study the word, there's a time to read the word for understanding, but there's also a time to pray over the word and receive it for nourishment. And when we do that, we don't need to be so concerned about the accuracy of how we pray when we pray over the word. All right? So here's an example. How would you, if you looked at Matthew 8:1 and you're there, you know, you woke up, it's before class, you got 10 minutes, you want to pray. Matthew 8:1, how would you do it? You're by yourself, spending personal time with the Lord. How would you do it? All right? Here's one way. You know, you could say, and when he, of course that's Jesus, came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. You could just open to the Lord. Oh, Lord. Lord, thank you for coming down. Lord, I was far away from you, but you came down from the heavens to meet me. Lord, thank you, even this morning. I'm not on the mountain, but thank you. You're coming down to where I am. And great crowds came down from the mountain. He came down from the mountain. Great crowds followed him. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, today I want to follow you. When you come down to me, then I follow you. All right, how about that? Right? Is that, if I was trying to be strict about what the verse says, but just turning it into prayer, it's so precious. Right? It's the Lord speaking. Okay, what about verse 2? Behold, a leper coming near worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. All right? Behold, a leper. Lord, I confess many times, I'm just like a sick person. I'm a leper. But thank you, Lord, I can come near. Lord, you weren't afraid. I can approach you, even as a sick person, as a leper. But I can approach you and worship you. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Lord, I'm here. I want to say to you, Lord, if you are willing, you can cleanse me. Lord, thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for cleansing me from my sin. Wash away the night. Lord, I want to touch you. Okay, what about that? Huh? Yeah, that's letting the word dwell in us richly. Right? Again, we might, it's not legal. I mean, okay, say like you take Matthew 1:1. All right, what does Matthew 1:1 say? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. All right, how would you pray over this verse? Right? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this book. Thank you, I have the Bible. This book is about Jesus Christ. Lord, I don't want to miss you whenever I come to the Bible. The son of David, the son of Abraham. You might be, Lord, I don't know who Abraham is, I don't even know who David is. Lord, but I know that you were their son, therefore you were a man. Lord, I appreciate you for being born as a man.
Amen.
How about that, huh? But if I just, you know, just, it's being very, just opening to the Lord, praying to the Lord. But it's using the word. It's using the word to pray to the Lord. Isn't that so sweet?
Amen.
All right, I hope we can really, if we can really touch this, the word, our heart will be burning. Our heart will be burning within us when we come to the word. It will revolutionize the way we come to the word. All right, it did for me. Right, I want to make sure I leave time for Brother Ken. So, should I leave you point D? All right, I got to do it. Okay, point D. All right, actually, before we read point D, you know, back, okay, without looking at your Bible, all right, fill in the blank. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing. Okay, wait, just let me say it, okay? Teaching and admonishing one another. If you were going to write the rest of that verse, what would you write? With doctrines? With history? With theology? With word studies? I think that's what we would have written if we were writing that verse. Teaching and admonishing one another with, but what does it say in the verse? With psalms and hymns and? Wow, have you ever done that? You have, actually, probably. So how do we teach? How do we admonish one another? How do we allow the word of Christ? Okay, the word of Christ, in our personal time, we need to really pray over it. What about when we're together? Teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. All right? And you can do this when you're by yourself, too. All right? But say, like, we take, pick any verse, say Ephesians 6, 17. Have you ever sung the Word of God? Have you ever sung it? Just look at a verse. Either make up your own tune or use a tune that you already know. All right? Do you want the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly? Do you want the Word of Christ to dwell in you richly?
Amen.
All right? Well, this is the way that's in the Bible. It's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So that means we need to do it. All right? So say you get verse 17, receive the helmet of salvation. Think of a tune. What's a good tune, Jefferson? How about there's a, you know, da na 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 na. All right, so, all right, you want to do this with me? Verse 17, and receive the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which Spirit is the Word of God. Amen. 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 Okay, how about that? All right, Jefferson, come here, brother. All right, brother. How about verse 18, brother? Right. You want to choose a verse? You want to choose a tune? Sure, go for it, brother.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
You're going to stand with our brother, right? Okay, go ahead. Go, brother.
By means of all prayer.
Amen.
And petition praying.
Amen.
At every time in spirit.
Amen.
And watching unto this.
Amen.
In all perseverance and petition.
Amen.
Concerning all the saints.
Amen.
Praying at every time in spirit.
Amen.
And watching unto this.
Amen.
Wow, that's great.
Wow, he's pretty good. Did you enjoy that verse more after he sang it? Was it rich to you? Then before he sang it? It was much richer to me. All right? So, how about that, huh? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. All right? And I think, I don't know if Brother Ken wants to do some demonstration too. Amen.
What I
Oh, yeah.
Robbie, why don't you take Colossians 3:16 and do it to a tune that you're not familiar with. Just sing to the Lord. Forget everybody's here. You're just with the Lord. Oops. at least go with the first phrase. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Just milk it, brother. Yeah, get to the mic. Here, come over here.
Okay. Amen. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen. Singing with grace in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we need to practice, right? Right, Joseph? Why don't you come practice here, brother? Come here. Come here, brother. Let the word of Christ dwell in you.
You want to come up? We have one.
You already have one? That's not fair. Oh, okay. So you've done this before. Okay. Okay, go.
Yeah, we're going to need this.
16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with
the word of Christ.
Wait, go on.
Dwell in you richly, in all wisdom teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Anyway, I just want to, you know, for example, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Come on, Marty. just that first part. Just enjoy that. You know, just start singing it. Let the word, amen. Let the word,
amen. Let the word dwell in me.
It's the word of Christ, brother. Be accurate.
Oh, Lord, your word dwell in me richly, Lord. Dwell in me richly, richly, richly today. Oh, Lord, let your word, Lord, your word, Lord, the word of Christ, dwell in me richly, Lord. All day long, even now, praise the Lord. Amen.
That good? Hallelujah. You know, it's not just in Colossians, but in Ephesians, it also says the same thing, right? We need to sing the word. The word, singing the word is a good way to get the word into us. What about the song we sang? Waters to swim in. What is that all about? It gets the word into our being, right? Oh, Lord. I bet you want to practice more, don't you? You can just go on. We need a sister. Somebody have someone that, you know, they want to recommend? Yeah. How about the one right back there? Yeah, the third person over, the one that's looking around. Yeah. Yeah. You can do it. I can't either. You can do it. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Just make it into a song. Okay, I'll give you another example. I hadn't even thought about it, okay? And not that it's going to be any good, but just let the word. Oh, that's terrible. Okay. let the word. Amen. Let the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. Amen. Yeah, let's see. Not good, but you know, you want to try it? Amen.
Amen.
Watch out, you'll be singing that on your bed tonight. Watch out. Hallelujah. Let's go on. There's a lot of burden in this word, this message, saints. I hope you're awake and you're alert. I think what I want to do first is go ahead and read something to you. This is, where did I put it? This is something Martin Luther wrote regarding enjoying the word. And I just hope you would pay attention to this. I'll just read it to you. He's helping others to really get the supply out of the word, the nourishment. And he says this: one may remain at every little verse in the Bible, and as Luther says, knock on every little twig, whether there would be some berries that would fall off. Should at the beginning one think it somewhat difficult, and should the prayer not flow at once, one may go on to try the same on another twig. Amen. If the soul is only hungry. Amen. If the soul is only what? Hungry. The Spirit of God will not leave it undernourished. Yea, it will finally be found that the man will see so many living fruit in one small verse that he will remain there and settle as under a tree richly laden. What utterance, huh? Don't you want to have experiences of like that in the Word? Listen, the Word is big. Then there's another kind of, this is regarding emphatic prayer. This is by Hannah Whitall Smith. I'm not sure if the 1800s or when it was. But she said this: if we will take the words of God, that is His revealed truth, into our lips and eat it. Amen. Into our lips and what? Analyze it? No. Eat it. That is, if we dwell upon His words and say them over and over to ourselves and thoroughly take in and assimilate their meaning in a common sense sort of way, we shall find that our soul life is fed and nourished by them and is made strong and vigorous in consequence. For example, take Psalm 23 and say the words over to yourself with all the willpower you can muster. The Lord is my shepherd. He is. No matter what I feel. He says He is, and He is. I'm going to believe it come what may. Then repeat the words with a different emphasis each time. The Lord is my shepherd. 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 Let's all do that again together, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. 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 Hallelujah. Don't you have the sense the Lord is shepherding you right then? Right now? Hallelujah. So anyway, enjoy the word. Pray over it. Sing over it. Get the word into your being. The Lord said in Matthew 4, you're familiar with this. The Lord Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. We live on physical food, but he said, don't live on that alone. Man should not live on bread alone. What should we live on? Every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. We need the word of God to be our source, our supply for living. We're not like everybody else on the earth. Listen, we love the Bible. We know that the Bible is God's word. This is how we know him. This is how we enjoy him. This is how we experience him. And we live by the word of God. This is the Lord's word. Man shall not live on bread alone. Don't live on, what did we have tonight? Turkey. Don't live on turkey alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And I want to impress you with another verse. This is 1 Peter 1:24. It says this. This is Peter saying, all flesh is as grass. And the glory of man like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower fades away or falls off. But what? The word of the Lord abides forever. Endures forever. What will last, you guys? The word. Listen, economics, it's not going to last. You can learn all that you want. You may be a medical doctor. You can study all your life. You know everything about the human body. But listen, it won't last. Not that you don't need it. But there's one thing that will last. One thing that endures. And that is the Lord's word. So I just ask you, what will you give your life to be constituted with? Why would, if this is what lasts, why wouldn't you give yourself to be filled with the word? I just want everyone tonight to open themselves and get impressed. Lord, I need your word. I want to fall in love with your word. I want to know what it is to be under the tree and being laid, the tree laden with the fruit, and just enjoy the riches in your word. Because we need to be constituted with the word. This is what will endure. I mean, when you're my age, what do you want to be filled with? Do you just want to have a lot of accomplishments in the world? Listen, I like to ask, you know, who's Justin? You're Justin. Justin, what's the name of your great great grandmother? Justin, you don't know? It's your great great grandmother. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. She lived on the earth. Where did she live? You don't even know where she lived. Do you know your great-grandmother's name? What about your great-grandfather? Your great-grandfather. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. But you know what? He lived on the earth. He had a wife. He worked. You know, I assume he did. Anyway, he had a living. He accomplished something. You came out of it. So, but you don't know anything about him. He could have been involved in the American Revolution. You don't even know anything about it. But it doesn't matter. You know why? It doesn't last. There's only one thing endures, you guys. The word of the Lord endures forever. I want to be filled with the word. The word is living. It's alive. There's a couple other verses I want to impress you with before I get back to the outline. Maybe I'll go to the outline first. Let's go to point E on the outline. Can we read this together? When the element of Christ has been infused into us by our singing and psalming. We live Christ spontaneously and automatically. Now, doesn't that sound awesome? When you sing and pray over the Word, when the Word becomes a supply to you, you live by that. I mean, what did you have? What did you have for lunch? We had hamburgers, right? What did you live this afternoon with by? You lived by the hamburgers. You know, what are you going to survive all night long on? Turkey. So you eat turkey, you live by turkey. It's your supply. It's your nourishment. Well, the Lord in John 6:57 said what? He who eats me. If you eat me, what happens? You'll live because of me. Eat me and what? Live because of me. It's spontaneous. It's automatic. Isn't that marvelous? Do you believe you could live because of Christ? He could be the one living in you during the day? Automatically, spontaneously? How? By eating Him. And of course, in the context in John 6, you can see, he wasn't saying, here, you know, here, have a bite. Here's the flesh. Yeah, have a bite. You know, he was saying, eat my flesh, drink my blood. No, he said, this he said concerning the Spirit, which those who believe are about to receive. Then he said, what? The words that I speak, they're what? They're Spirit. The words that I speak are what? Spirit. And what? Life. What? Life. Yeah. Amen. Spirit and life. This is what the Lord speaks. When He speaks, it's Spirit. It's eternal. It's something altogether divine. It's of life. And it gets into our being and it changes us. It does something to us. Here it points out, as we allow the Word to inhabit us, oh no, that's the next point. We live Christ spontaneously and automatically. You know, to me, a lot of Christians, they agonize over how to be a good Christian. You know, how should I be a good Christian? Do you wonder, how should I be a good Christian? I want to be a good Christian. I want to be satisfying to the Lord. What really satisfies the Lord? What? Himself? Yes. But as what? Especially, I would say, as the Word, as Spirit, as life. You know, He really wants to be received by us. He wants us to enjoy Him. I go back to what we began the whole conference with, and that is, the Father's delight is the Son. He's the delight of the Father. Hear Him. You know, they hit the deck when they came out, they saw no one but Jesus only. Jesus Himself alone. This is what Colossians is all about. It's to bring us to Christ Himself. And so in Colossians, we need to be filled with the Word. And as we're filled with the Word, there's something marvelous that happens. We live spontaneously by what? Because of this one, Christ. Do you want to just live in your philosophy? Live in concepts? Live according to what you think the Christian life is? No, the best thing to do is what? Eat Jesus. Eat Him. Partake of Him. Particularly what? His Word. Particularly the Spirit in the Word. You partake of this.